Hello, everyone. Welcome. What a joy it is to be gathered here today to celebrate a truly special moment, the ordination of Marjorie Briggs. Whether you've traveled across the state or from Indiana, which is where Terry and Loretta came from, across town or just down the street, thank you for being here. Your presence means so much to all of us, but most of all to Marjorie, who will remember your presence here today for the rest of her life. Your presence here is an act of love and abiding friendship. We want to take a moment to give a big thank you to all of our sister congregational churches, 13 of which are represented here today, maybe even a few more as some others came in, who've supported Marjorie on her journey. And I want to tell you that your encouragement, your prayers, and your friendship have helped bring her to this day, and we are all so grateful. Also to our own Mayflower Congregational Church family, who have served as the anchor leg on the relay team. I would like to thank our worship coordinator and church clerk, Lorraine Finneson, who has worked tirelessly with Marjorie and others to organize all the specific details and logistics to produce a bulletin and a service so fitting and so beautiful for this special event. Thank you, Lorraine. I would like to thank our Minister of Music, Barb Fuller, accompanist Deanne McCormick, and the members of the Mayflower Chancel and Bell Choirs for their sacrifices of time and rehearsal to provide beautiful music, some of which has been specifically chosen by our candidate, Marjorie Briggs. A personal shout out to my original mentor in the congregational way, who has become my dear friend, Reverend Terry Bobzien, who just completed his term as the moderator for the Vicinage Council, who just completed their proceedings. And the council will be dissolved not until the end of this service. We just found that out. Thank you, Terry. And I would be remiss if I did not thank Kim Finneson, our production engineer, who is faithfully with us every single Sunday and many other events, making sure that people across the country that want to tune in today have that opportunity. And I will also mention that probably within 5 minutes of our service today, this service will be video recorded and available for anyone if they access our church website to see this service. So thank you. It is on Facebook live stream if you want to know which platform it is. And I'll just a little add, I don't think there have been two Sundays in 8 years since I've been a pastor at Mayflower that Kim Finneson hasn't been right where he is today. It's been amazing. All of us together have helped shape and support Marjorie. So let's take a deep breath, open our hearts, and enjoy this moment together. This is a day to celebrate. This is a day to give thanks and to recognize the work of the Spirit in all of our lives and in all of our churches and in all the world. Welcome. And thanks be to God. Let us now be in a spirit of worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. Come, ye people of God, on this day of fire and breath, we gather to witness the movement of the Spirit. We come ready to be stirred and strengthened, called to new life by the Spirit who speaks through each of us. Today we remember how the Spirit poured out on all flesh, young and old, dreaming and prophesying, called into sacred service.
And today we affirm that same Spirit, alive in the beloved community, alive in the one we ordain.
Let us open our hearts to the God who calls, to the Christ who walks with us, and to the Spirit who empowers and sends.
Come, Holy Spirit, ignite us with your love. Come, let us worship God together.
Please. Loving God, we're gathered together on a joyous occasion, and we invite the presence of your Spirit with us. In this holy time, as we proceed to ordain Marjorie, we are grateful for her gifts, for all that you have brought her to be in life, for the experiences you've given her,
for the education she has attained, and for her willingness to share the love of God with all she encounters. We ask your blessing upon her ministry with this congregation at Mayflower. We ask especially the imbuement of your Spirit upon her at the time of her ordination. We know that this is a good and right thing, God. We are a grateful people. Hear us now as we pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good evening. My name is Lennox Fisher, the senior minister at North Congregational Church in Farmington Hills, and I bring greetings from my congregation. I'm just blessed to be here to witness this beautiful service with you, Marjorie. And I want to give Marjorie a gift because it never happens that there's a record of the people who came except I do this. So on three, say, we love you, Marjorie. Are you right? One, two, three.
We love you, Marjorie.
There we go. The word of the Lord comes to us this evening from John chapter 14 and chapter 16 and Acts chapter 2. Jesus says to his disciples and to us now, Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? Thomas asked. Jesus replies, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you know me. And if you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and still you don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? You do not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask anything, if you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because the world neither sees him or knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home in with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. All the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And now from Acts, the story of this very day, the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. At this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus the Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourself from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and on that day, about 3,000 persons were added. This is the word of our God for the people of God. Amen.
Good evening. My name is Chris Murphy, and I'm the pastor at Horton Congregational Church, and it's an absolute honor to be here today on behalf of my friend Marjorie. My scripture readings are on the spiritual gifts, and I'll start with Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting on verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Now, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. the word of God for the people of God.
Greetings from Rockwood, Michigan. Margie, you're so loved. It's wonderful and honored to be here. Today, I have a scripture reading, but it should also save reflection as well. So, Marjorie, when we are called by God, we are called to serve God as His servant, to become Jesus' hands, His feet, His ears, His voice, and most of all, to be His love within our world. The Apostle Paul once said this about love: if I have faith that can move mountains, but if I do not have love, I am nothing. Yet when we serve the Lord with faith, and especially with love, you can move mountains, Marjorie. Paul also wrote this about love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Even Jesus said there is an easier way of keeping God's commands, even without thinking about them. It all stems from love. Which takes me to our scripture reading today. John 13, 34, and 35, when Jesus says, I give you a new command, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Marjorie, as a called minister, of our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. Those are some pretty important words that our Lord expects his servants to love. Yet this thought to love should resonate in our hearts, our minds, and in our souls. When I think about love, it's rooted in God's love. It takes me to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but to have eternal life. God's love is for us. It is forever love. God's love is eternal love because God is eternal. Jesus calls his servants to teach others that all of God's commands are achievable if we truly love in our hearts and in our actions. God has built us to love one another. Marjorie, you are called by the Lord Jesus Christ to love, to love. I have learned this as a servant of God. Love makes everything easier as a servant of God. Love makes everything easier. The greatest thing in the world is love. Jesus expects all his ministers to love others unconditionally, expecting nothing in return. Jesus said, it's the best thing we can do. It's the best thought that we can have. And it's the best action we can ever give. It's the best thing we can display as servants of God if we just love. To love abundantly. To live abundantly. To love forever is to live forever. Marjorie, you will do great things, bringing glory to our Lord. Amen.
It is for me an extraordinary privilege to stand here on this sacred day, a day when by fire and by spirit, the church had its nascent beginning. Those who gathered on that day of Pentecost were called and gifted to speak beyond the barriers of language and culture. Hearts were changed, lives were transformed, the church was born. Centuries have now passed, but God is still calling, God is still sending, God is still speaking, God is still gifting, and yes, God is still ordaining. Those who have been called to stand behind the sacred desk, like the one here, also assume an even more important and holy duty to speak with our lives and actions a language of love, as we've just heard, which will inspire others who would also respond to God's call to share, to serve, to preach, and to love in the name and spirit of Christ. It is no accident that this day of Pentecost was chosen to be the day of Marjorie's ordination. A day of fire and spirit which birthed the church and provided an eternal model of growth which continues to this day. All of you here today have had a part in what has led to these holy moments. Fortunately, I have had for the last several years a front row seat in much of what has preceded this moment. Therefore, to begin, and with the confidence of the Spirit, I offer words of blessing and witness for someone I love and deeply admire, Marjorie. Her calling, has been forged in fire, the fire of the Spirit. We have walked together for quite a while now, Marjorie. You've walked with others, but we've had our own unique walk through study, seeking, sharing, searching, and praying in seasons of clarity and in seasons of deep sorrow. We've been to luncheons, conferences, convocations, retreats, memorial services, installation services, and countless Zooms. We've been in church. We've been in a car hundreds of miles on occasion, in restaurants, and in Marjorie's home. I've seen Marjorie laugh with the joy of the Lord, and I've watched her weep when her world fell apart. I have watched her wrestle honestly with God, and I've watched her never let go of God. And I've watched her loving hubby Mike walk this journey beside her with incredible love, support, wisdom, and sacrifice. Several years ago, Marjorie asked me to be her mentor, one of several mentors in her life. And it has been an honor to mentor her, not just in ministry, but in life. But truthfully, it has been mutual, as there have been many days and times in which Marjorie has ministered to me. We have shared laughter and tears, joys and sorrows, accomplishments and failures, both ways. Today, we are here to ordain her, but more than that, we are here to bear witness to what God has already done. God has been shaping her, chiseling her, loving her into this calling for many years, as we heard just a few minutes ago in Vicinage. So this is not a moment of becoming. It is a moment of recognizing what already is. But it has not come easy. When Marjorie's son Andrew died, I remember the silence that followed. But not the silence of absence, rather the sacred, aching silence of a mother's grief. And in that silence, something remarkable happened. God did not flee from her pain. God entered it, and so did Marjorie. I saw a woman hold fast to her faith, not with clenched fists, but with open hands and an open heart. I saw her learn that grief is not the opposite of calling. Sometimes it is the forge through which calling is formed and clarified, and you've given very good witness to that, even in our Vicinage Council today, Marjorie. The scriptures give us insight and hope in and during the crucibles of life and ministry. So we now listen to the prophet Isaiah in chapter 43. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Marjorie, you have passed through the waters. You have walked through fire. And here you are, not burned, not consumed, not drowned, but refined. And if you'd look it into her face right now, you would say that Marjorie is radiant. God's call on a life doesn't come with a smooth road or simple answers. It comes with presence. It comes with faithfulness. And it comes often through suffering. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, that we are comforted by God so that we can comfort others with the same comfort that we have received. This is a big part of pastoral ministry. It's a big part of any ministry, and it comes with mandatory vulnerability. And in that, we all admire you, as we did again just a few minutes ago in Visnage. And I have no doubt that the comfort you have received, Marjorie, will be a lifeline to many. Your grief has given you wisdom. Your loss has given you tenderness. Your scars have given you credibility. You are not afraid of pain. Because of that, you have and will walk into many lives with courage and compassion. In these years of knowing you, Marjorie, I have seen more than just faith. I have seen courage. I have seen compassion. I have been amazed and inspired by your resilience. And I have seen your sense of humor. And yes, you have a good sense of humor, Marjorie. Smiles quickly and is always cheerful. Well, maybe most of the time, okay? Even in the darkest hours of life. And I have seen in you a soul that listens deeply. I am honored that maybe, just maybe, you have listened to me with whatever nuggets have been worthwhile along your journey, Marjorie. I remember the day that Marjorie, as part of her training in seminary, was to shadow a minister. And since I was her minister, she called and said, "I'm going to shadow you today." And I said, "Okay." So what did we do? We went to Gordon's Food Service and we checked out the ice cream that was for our ice cream social. And Marjorie helped me profoundly pick the right kind of ice cream for an event that most of us will never forget here at Mayflower. Marjorie, I also know that you have listened to the voice of God, which has helped you listen for the heart behind people's words. And I'm here to say that listening is rare, and it is also holy. You are and will be a pastor, our pastor and pastor to others, who walks with people, not above them, not behind them, but with them. And in so doing, you will be a living image of the God who walks with all of us. So now let me speak to you directly, my dear friend. Marjorie, as you know, as we all know, this calling is holy and it is costly, but you do not walk it alone. The same God who called you through joy and through sorrow and through silence will be with you in every step ahead. And as you look around today, take a look, Marjorie. There are so many here which represent the care, the support, the love, and the grace of Christ, which is the embodiment of all that God has done and will do through you. Marjorie, we preach with our voices, but mostly with our lives. May it ever be so with you. May you love people, all people, with fierce, yet gentle and steadfast compassion. May you stay close to God, especially when the path seems unclear. And that's probably most of the time. And remember this, as we all must, that you and we are not ordained because we are perfect. We are ordained because we are faithful. So now, I offer a blessing to you, Marjorie. May your hands be always open. Your heart be always soft, and may your spirit be always willing. May you speak with the authority of heaven and love with the tenderness of Christ. May you comfort as you have been comforted, and may you never forget that even in fire, you are always held by the one who called you, who loves you, and who sustains you. Amen.
I'm Terry Bobzien, and I was the moderator for a duly called Vicinage Council convened this afternoon at 3 o'clock. At that Vicinage Council, members of neighboring churches and many other observers from other churches of the Congregational Way heard records of the church and records of Marjorie Briggs, heard her testimony, and determined unanimously to proceed with Mayflower Congregational Church to the ordination of Marjorie Briggs.
So, on recommendation of the Ministry Council of Mayflower Congregational Church, and per the affirmative vote in a duly called meeting of the membership of Mayflower Congregational Church, we now proceed to the ordination of Marjorie Maureen Briggs. We welcome the endorsement of the Vicinage Council just given. So Marjorie, would you please come forward? And also Marilyn Danielson. Reverend Dr. Marilyn Danielson is the pastor of the Lake Odessa Church in Lake Odessa, Michigan. All right, we'll use the lectern. You're there by yourself. You need some help, Marjorie? That's right. Why don't you just come over here?
Sure, I can do that.
It's been quite an experience for you today, right, Marjorie? I think we all know the feeling. So we are going to, Marilyn and I are going to thank you. We need to turn the mic on. We are being reminded. Got that? And I can use mine. And we're good, Kim? There we go. So we have some questions for you, Marjorie. And you can respond any way you want. We kind of have an idea which way it's going to go, though. So I will begin the first question, and then Marilyn, and then back and forth until we get to the end of this, okay? So Marjorie Briggs, before God and this congregation, we ask you, are you persuaded that God has called you to be an ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, and are you ready, with the help of God, to enter this ministry and to serve faithfully in it?
Church throughout the world, hear the word of God in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? And do you accept the word of God as the rule of Christian faith and practice?
I do.
Do you promise to be diligent in your private prayers and reading the scriptures as well as in the public duties of your office?
I do, relying on God's grace.
Will you be zealous in maintaining both the truth of the gospel and the peace of the church, speaking truth in love?
I will, relying on God's grace.
Marjorie, you be faithful in preaching and teaching the gospel, in administering the sacraments and rites of the church, and in exercising pastoral care and leadership?
I will, relying on God's grace.
Will you keep silent all confidences shared with you?
I will, relying on God's grace.
Will you seek to regard all people with equal love and concern and undertake to minister impartially to the needs of all?
I will, relying on God's grace.
Will you, as an ordained minister in this communion, ecumenically reach out toward all who are in Christ and show Christian love to people of other faiths and people of no faith?
I will, relying on God's grace.
All right, now it's your turn, folks. You didn't think you were going to get out of this, did you? As churches that take in membership, people in membership, as we did here this morning, we have the questions we ask the congregation that are just as important as the one we've asked to the one who shall be ordained. So I begin. People of God, you've heard the promises Marjorie has just made. What is your will? Will you support Marjorie in the ministry of Christ?
We will.
Were you able to hear that, Marjorie? Mm-hmm. Did sound pretty affirmative and
yes.
Yeah, enthusiastic.
Yes.
I heard it too.
Thank you.
So now we have some things we want to place on you. And Marilyn, I'm going to give you the robe, and I'll hold this stole for, and well, okay, I'll hold it until we need it. Oh, thank you. Sorry about that. Who was it was helping me just a few minutes ago? I don't know who it was. It took him 5 minutes to get this little.
It took you? It took three of us.
Oh, okay. It takes a village, folks. And the stole. Wow, pretty snazzy. Where can I get one like that, Marjorie?
Well, you said I was going to be flaming today.
Oh, okay. So, Marjorie, hang on, we're not done yet. Your robe signifies your willingness not to be clothed in your own strength, but in the grace and righteousness of Christ. The stole which you are about to receive and now have received is a symbol of your ordination to pastoral ministry. It represents the yoke of Christ, a yoke that is easy and a burden is light, that is light. As Christ bore the weight of the cross for the love of the world, so now you bear the calling to love, to shepherd, and to serve God's people. Let this stole remind you that your authority comes not from yourself, but from the one who calls and equips. May it always rest lightly upon your shoulders, even as you bear the heavy and holy responsibility of ministry. Do you want to give her a hug, Marjorie? Marilyn.
I was planning on that.
Okay, here we go. Can I have one too, Marjorie? Okay. All right. Let us pray. I just about forgot a very more important thing. I'll ask all the ministers to come forward this time. And it'll be a little bit of a crowd, but perhaps up on the chancel will be a little easier for our video technician, production engineer. And so some of this will be laying hands by extension, which is fine. One to another. All right, get as close as you can.
Okay.
All right, here we go. The laying on of hands is a symbolic act whereby the church in every age recognizes God's call to ministry in the lives of faithful people and ask the Holy Spirit to confer on them gifts of ordained ministry. And so, with all of us here joining in the hearts and minds of all of you in the pews, we now ordain Marjorie Maureen Briggs. And I don't think it'd be inappropriate that you can respond with applause. Okay, I'll offer the prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, in wisdom, you govern all things, and from the beginning you have chosen faithful people to serve you in ministry, calling some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip all your people for the work of the ministry and for building up the body of Christ. So now, bless and sanctify by your Holy Spirit your servant Marjorie, who we, in your name and in obedience to your will, by prayer and with the laying on of hands, ordain to the ministry of the church, committing her the authority to preach your word, administer the sacraments, and exercise the responsibilities of pastor and teacher. Bestow on Marjorie the power of your Holy Spirit, confirming what we do. Let the same mind be in her that was also in Christ Jesus. Enable her to nourish your people in the faith of the gospel. Fill her speech with truth and her life with purity. Increase the faith of Marjorie in you. Strengthen her in times of trouble. Prosper her words and works, that your name may be glorified and your truth exalted, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, and thanks be to God. And so we're kind of doing double duty again, but officially now, Marjorie, by the authority of the Mayflower Congregational Church, you are ordained to pastoral ministry. Friends, well, we already did this,
we'll
but
do it again.
Let's do it again. All right. I share the enthusiasm. Okay, you may be seated. Oh, right hand of fellowship. Hold on. Oh, I'll get it. Jerry, you are the one that leads this right hand of fellowship. So if for a picture in our video, let's see some shaking of hands there, as we've already had the hugs. Okay, there's a good one right there, Kim, if you've got that one. And now everyone else to offer that right hand of fellowship. All right, now you can do it. On behalf of Marjorie and all who love her, represent her, support her, thank you for coming today. What a joy it has been for Marjorie and for all of us to host this wonderful gathering of wonderful people. Marjorie and Mike have generously provided a catered meal today. I want mine rare. Okay. Oh, it is chicken, okay? I don't like my chicken rare. Couldn't resist that. Some of you that were in the service this morning could get a little bit of that humor. But what we're going to do is we're going to sing the closing hymn together. You see it. It is Be Thou My Vision, another one of Marjorie's favorites. And we will stand for that. And then we will remain standing, those that can. Of course, there may be many of you, some of you that need to remain seated, but those that can will be standing. And then we'll offer the benediction. I say we, it will be Reverend Margie Briggs that offers our benediction today. Following that, you remain seated, and we will have a recessional at that point. We'll ask all of the ministers to recess toward the what we call the vestibule of the narthex of the church. That'll be followed by the choir. And at the conclusion of the postlude, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, then you can make your way. It's a little bit of a choke point here, but there's a lift, and if anybody needs help with that lift, it'll get you down to the other floor with no difficulty with the stairs. And then we'll make our way into the Friendship Center, which is this way. And there's room for 80 people. I will say that I think we've received RSVPs. I'm going to just venture out a little bit here and say that there's plenty of food back there, and there were sandwiches. I think there were 50 croissant sandwiches that were prepared for the Visnage Council, and to my knowledge, not one was eaten, right? Maybe one was eaten, okay. So if you can't get a piece of chicken, you can have a croissant chicken salad sandwich. Just come back there, and I don't think anybody will want to turn you away. Is there anything else that I've missed? Oh, yes. I will offer now the blessing for the meal. So when you see that meal in front of you and it's hot, you won't have to wait until it's cold. I have to admit, sometimes when we pause for a prayer at a meal, if the meal is hot, I do not like long prayers. So I'll just go pray a long prayer now. Let us pray. God, you have been faithfully with us as we have invited with our hearts your presence, your help, your strength, and your inspiration. We thank you for all in Marjorie that has inspired us. We thank you also for the generosity of time and effort and treasure to provide a meal for us to consume and to eat. So now, Lord, as we break bread together, may the Spirit of God break anew and afresh into all of our hearts as we share in the love from which we shall never be separated. Thanks be to God. Amen. be seated. Marjorie, if you just hold 1 minute, I forgot one thing. We talked about this before, okay? So I would like to read a letter that has come from Reverend Dr. Jerry Krupp, who is the National Executive Director for our national organization in Milwaukee. And so he writes, and by the way, Jerry knows Marjorie very well. Dear Reverend Briggs, maybe it's good we waited till this point. On behalf of the churches of the National Association of Congregational Christian Churches, I offer congratulations and prayers for you, Reverend Briggs, and the members of the Mayflower Congregational Church. Ordination is both exciting and humbling. It is exciting to contemplate the faithful vision unfolding for future years. It is humbling to realize what great responsibility accompanies joining with God to serve the world entrusted to our care. And ordination creates a distinctive, cherished relationship between a minister and a congregation. Know that congregationalists around the world stand firmly with you in prayer as you continue your ministry in Lansing, Michigan, and beyond. We pray that you hear God's voice as you nurture spiritual growth within the congregation and extend compassion to your neighbors. We are blessed by your participation in the National Association and grateful for your ministry. In Christ's name, grace and peace, Reverend Dr. Jerry Brandon Krupp. And let me just say, I've had texts and phone calls all day of people who cannot be here that are wishing and offering to you not just the best of luck, but in the spirit of Christ, Godspeed in every way. Marjorie.
On this day of Pentecost, let us remember the wind and the fire that filled everyone with the Holy Spirit and became the beginnings of the church. May it continue to burn brightly within each of us, empowering us to serve with joy and with courage. May the Spirit guide your steps and strengthen your resolve as you answer the call to share God's love. When God calls, answer, "Hanini, here I am, ready to serve." When you call out to him for help, he will answer, "Hanini, here am I." Go forth in peace, and may the Holy Spirit be your constant companion, guiding your way and empowering us in our ministry. Amen.
Hit it again.